We still continue with John 14 for a little bit more. And one of the issues that the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with in chapter 14 was the lack of knowledge concerning life and death, a reality of heaven. But tied to that is the problem of believing in the Lord Jesus. That's why he had to say, you believe in God, that's great, believe also in me. The disciples had difficulties learning to really love the Lord. But they also had difficulty in believing in the Lord Jesus for some reason, right? And throughout all the Gospels, you from the earlier chapters to the latter chapters, you will see how the disciples struggled with their faith in him. And John writes very candidly on this subject, and the Lord had to address this problem. What did they struggle with? Well, one of the struggles they had was the fact that some of the teachings of the Lord Jesus, they were very deep. For example, death, resurrection. And the mind just couldn't grapple and grasp these truths immediately or easily. And so they struggled with that. With the struggle of knowledge, there will also be a struggle of faith because they are related. Our faith is related to our knowledge. And if that knowledge is not forthcoming, so will the faith be affected. Well, we understand that because like the disciples of old, we have our own sets of struggles too. Right? We have our strength, we have our weaknesses. Well, we need to deal with them effectively. If not, the struggle with faith will continue indefinitely all our life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to them that he's going to do something for them. Now, he already prayed the Holy Spirit would be given to them, but he added one more blessing. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? Now, this was something that it was difficult for the disciples to understand. As long as there is that faith that is struggling, as long as there are all kinds of doubts that are unsettled, you will find it very hard to find a peace within the heart. And so the Lord stepped in and said, I'm going to give you a special kind of peace. A peace where you will not be so troubled. A peace where the sense of fear that we have will be allayed to some extent. What is this all about? The peace that the world gives to people is when you sort of have a bit of a distraction and you're not worried about something. And so the distraction is a kind of peace. That's what the world offers. But the kind of peace that the world offers is very often temporary, right? So you may be distracted for a while. You may enjoy playing a game at the computer. You may go out and have some food with some friends. But essentially, well, the fears and the troubledness may go for a while. They will also come back. The heart will always be troubled easily where there is a lack of strong faith in the Lord. And so this is what the Lord wanted to give them. While they are sorting things out, what the Lord can give in the interim is the peace that he talks about now. Later on, Paul will teach the Philippians how to find that peace of God. And it will be in prayer. It will be where our minds, our hearts are dwelling on things which are wonderful, which are good, and we will find a bit more permanent peace that's there. But at this point of time, what was really needed was a sense of peace because there was so much unrest in the disciples' heart. They were told one of them will betray the Lord. They were told that he was going to die soon and he would be arrested. He would suffer many things. There's so many things that troubled the mind and the heart. There was no peace. And so the Lord needed to give to them this sense of peace that is there. Right? So the Lord said, I'm going away. And then he went on further to say, and coming back to you. Now that was a puzzling statement. How can this be there? And then he went on further, if you loved me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I'm going to the Father. My Father is greater than I. And it can be very confusing. And we try to absorb all of these thoughts together at the same time. So let's try to understand. The Lord Jesus is going away. What is the problem with that? Well, the Lord tells us that he is going to be with his Father again. That should be cause for rejoicing. So the Lord has been on this earth for 30-something years already. That's how long he has been away from the Father. It's not just a short few days. It's over 30 years of being on earth, in life, in ministry, and especially the last few years. So these are not short years. It's really, really quite a long time. And so he says, I am going to the Father. This is what my Father has said. My Father is greater than I. So as a human being, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. I'm going back to be with my Father. Now, if the disciples had understood this, they were human beings too. They had given up a bit of time to be with the Lord Jesus. And they would be away from their family for a while, 2-3 years. So whenever they come back to Capernaum, it's very possible they went back to see the families. But if they understood this, then they would also understand why the Lord Jesus said that they should rejoice with him. Right? You would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. He expected the disciples to understand, right? The relationship between the Lord Jesus and his Father was deep, full of affection, and now he wants to go back and see his Father. What's the problem with that? There should be none, right? They should be really happy that the Lord's work on earth is done and he can return to see his Father. But they couldn't see that. They couldn't appreciate that. They couldn't understand that. Why? Part of it is knowledge. Part of it is faith. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to say these words to them. He says, Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Now that is the point of this particular text here. The disciples were struggling with believing in the Lord Jesus, struggling with understanding what he had been teaching them along this line. It's just so difficult for them to understand this, right? His death was difficult to understand because to them, death and suffering, they're terrible things. They could not think beyond suffering and death to the resurrection. And so he says, I'm going to tell you why. So that these things, when they are fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled, then you may believe. See, the Lord Jesus was very kind, very gracious, very wonderful in his understanding of the needs of the disciples. There were so many things in chapter 14 we read, so many things that they were lacking in. Lacking in knowledge, lacking in insight, lacking in discernment, lacking in love, lacking in faith, you name it. All these things were there. But they couldn't see these things here. All they were struggling with was the immediate. The Lord Jesus is going to die, and that's it. Despite that, the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them, listen, I'm going to pray for the Father. The Holy Spirit will be with you. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will be in you. And then finally, he also had to say, now I'm going to do something else special. I am going to pray that you will have this peace that will take away the feelings of being troubled, take away the feelings of fear. Those things are important. But one key concept that had to be dealt with was simply they found it hard to believe. Sometimes belief can come because we understand a text. Sometimes when knowledge is there, we can believe. But there may be times when literally only after the event has taken place can belief become real and stronger. This is one of those times, right? This is one of those times where the struggle is going to be very real, very intense. But there is no way in which they can understand all that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach them. And so he says, okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that you will have this peace. I'm going to give you this peace of heart, of mind, so that you won't be troubled even if the faith is still lacking. Now that is a wonderful grace and mercy of the Lord given to the disciples. That is something to be treasured. And then he had to say a few more things, and this is important for us. Two more things that he needed to tell them. One, he says, I will no longer talk much with you. Sometimes when you try to teach, you try to explain, and when there is a mental block, there is a heart block, and nothing gets through, more talking is not going to help. And the Lord very wisely said, I will no longer talk much with you. Right? Because the more we read in John 14, look at the list of things he's been trying to teach them. And the reality of it all is that very little of what the Lord Jesus had said and taught had gotten through at all. And so he needed to say all of these things here. I think that's important. Right? So now he has to warn them. The ruler of this world is coming. Now, this is a word of warning. It's very, very much like what Paul later on explained in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. We are going to get involved in a spiritual warfare. But this time round, the evil one, the ruler of this world, is coming. Well, this is where a word of warning. Was the Lord Jesus Christ afraid? Absolutely not. And so he says, and he has nothing in me. Meaning to say, the evil one has not been able to affect him in any way, not even subtly. Certainly not outwardly, nor inwardly, the evil one has nothing in the Lord Jesus at all. And this is something that we need to be really, really focused on. To thank God in a fresh new way, all these lessons that we are learning from John 14. In this particular chapter, the last few verses, the focus is so very real. The focus is on faith in Him, belief in Him. The focus is love for Him. And then if these things are not forthcoming immediately, they will have one extra special blessing. Peace. You need to sort all of these things out very, very carefully. So what is it that we must do on our part? And we have to recognize. And I think we all struggle. One of the reasons why we struggle is because, you know, we don't know how to learn deep lessons easily. Right? We sort of roughly know the general understanding, the lie of the land, as it were, some basic facts about faith in God, about the scriptures, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we stop. The challenge for the disciples of the Lord Jesus is not to stop where they are, but to go further, to understand how the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How the Spirit of God can come to be with them and then to be in them. How he can teach them, guide them, help them to all truth, to remember all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught them. But what is basically required is that they may believe in him. And that challenge is for us all too. Sometimes we take our faith for granted. Sometimes we think we can say assuredly that we do believe. But when we examine in depth all the details, all the substances of things that make up our faith in the Lord, we may find ourselves wanting. This is something that we want to consider very, very, very much. Well, may the Lord give to us that wisdom that we need. Let's pray together. And Father, we confess to you that we struggle with believing. We struggle with knowledge. We struggle with the many, many deep and profound teachings the Lord Jesus Christ has given and recorded for us in John 14. Help us to be candid, to be open, to be honest with ourselves, and to confess to you that we need this faith, we need this peace, we need to have this love too. We pray that you will help us to cultivate our faith and our love for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.